Podcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Here we are. It's episode three. Episode numero trois.
Can't wait.
Combining several languages there.
Can I just express before we even begin this episode that this episode has got Alex really, really excited. The whole month I've been waiting. Becca and I have been chatting, and today is the day we introduce our first guest.
So we're really excited about this, aren't we?
This is the moment of truth. I've looked forward to this for so long.
We've got a very special guest on the show. We've got Xavier Villebrand. My German is terrible, so that's the best that I can do.
I was going to say, stick to the English, Becca. Yeah. Stick to the English.
And from I'm a Score on the podcast. This is amazing.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for having me.
And good afternoon, Germany. I've always wanted to say that. I feel like I'm hosting Eurovision right now. It's a big deal.
So we wanted to get you on podcast because obviously I'm a Score is celebrating a very important birthday this year.
Yes, yes. We are 10 now, so we are having our big anniversary in June. We founded on the 4th of June in 2009. So yeah, it's quite a long time that passed.
It is amazing, actually. And we were just sort of chatting about you and looking at some of the things that we obviously know you for. But I'm a Score has done so much in that time, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. A lot in a theme park industry, not only the theme park industry, but really most of our time we produced music for theme parks. We started in 2010. So in our second year, we already started working for theme parks. We really never thought that this would be a business for us. We've been theme park enthusiasts before, and we thought, okay, this is once in a lifetime chance that we had back then producing the soundtrack for Krake at Heide Park. But suddenly it became a business and we're now the world market leader, which is crazy because we're fans on one side, and on the other side, we love to produce music. And now we can, combine both.
Combine the two things.
Yeah, right.
And it's incredible to see the amazing amount of work that the team have put together in the last 10 years. I mean, just to list for yourself, Xavier, that you are the managing director, founder and project manager at I'm a Score. And of course, everybody might think, wow, you hear the soundtracks of I'm a Score, and you think, gosh, there must be thousands of them sat in a big orchestra suite putting these incredible scores together. Could you tell us a little bit more about how many of you are there actually are across the business?
Yes. At the moment, we're 10 team members in total.
Wow.
Seven of them are actual composers. I'm doing our business stuff. We have someone for film productions. He's quite new in our team. We're also offering film productions also for theme parks at the moment, for pre-shows and so on. And then we have an accountant here in our team. So, yeah. That's
incredible.
All. That makes
sense. Really small team, actually.
But look at the magic that they create. just a small amount of team. And just to list some of the things that are under your bracketology and what you've created, I mean, to list things for Thorpe Park, like Walking Dead, The Ride, Derren Brown's Ghost Train, and of course, the island of Thorpe Park itself has been transformed by the sweet scores of I'm a Score. Towers with Wicker Man, The Smiler, Galactica, and of course the Alton Towers fireworks as well. It's worth mentioning the Ultimate Fireworks Spectacular, something that I'm a Score have had such a magical part of for the last few years, and it's always so mesmerizing to be stood in that park on a cold November evening and feel so warmed by the music that you all create. And then of course Europe, Fantasialand, we have Taron and Klugheim, the area as a whole, Mystery Castle, and probably my personal favorite, I've got to say it right now, is Chiapas, Divasabar. It's an incredible soundtrack, and it's actually one of the ringtones on my phone when people contact
me. That's showing
me.
Your true inner geek.
That's my true geek, and I've got to say, this whole interview, I've got a big smile on my face having this conversation. This is like the true excitable me getting out right now. And of course, Liseberg with Helix and Valkyria, and of course, you know, I'm sure many more exciting projects to come just in Europe alone. Of course, we'd be listing Blue Fire at Europa Park too, and Phoenix at Toverland. We'd be here all day if we listed the incredible sounds that you guys have created. Do you have anywhere that you find your inspiration comes from when you deal with the creative teams at these parks? Or is there something that you have to imagine before you can truly create a soundtrack for a theme park?
The creatives of the theme parks inspire us the most. They think it's their artworks or us going on the construction site, which is actually nothing more than a big puddle of mud at the time we're starting to produce. So that what really inspires us are the people, the creatives at the theme parks, because they put in so much effort, so much heart in their projects, and they tell us what they see when we are on the construction site. They tell us what they see there. They see the roller coaster, they see the theming, and they tell us what feeling they have, and that inspires us, and that really helps us to understand what kind of music could work there, because it's not the attraction that gives you the idea, it's the people. Because the creatives at theme parks, they need to be very creative. It's a very, very creative industry, and they really need to do things with quite little budget, which always makes it hard for them to fulfill all their ideas, their imagination. But that's also why we always try to work very closely with the creatives to get to a result where everyone is happy, that still fits to the area, is still some sort of special, because it comes from the heart of the creatives involved in this project.
And that storytelling is so pivotal for themed attractions, walkthroughs, anything that you would experience at a leisure attraction.
It makes the difference, though, doesn't it? We're having the music, you could have the most intricately themed.
You can have the sights and the smells, but without the sounds, yeah. there is no immersion to that. It really fits the package of what makes a truly mesmerizing theme park ride or, again, attraction. And I think that, you know, to say that I'm a score, you guys have very much focused on that power of music and how it inspires people in a journey down a queue line or into a pre-show, of course, on a ride or in an area of a theme park. So you can be into the area of a ride, and as you walk into the queue line, that music follows you, and the sounds you were hearing before travel with you. And as you get closer to the ride, it builds and builds for that big finale, which of course is the ride itself. And you know, Becca and I have heard many of your soundtracks, and of course,
yeah. Can I just pick up on one of them in particular, which I've got to ask you about,
yes.
Which is the Smiler theme. Relationship with that piece of music, because you get there and you're like, I'm going to smile, this is great, and then that song will not get out of your head.
It's there all day, all day, all week,
all month.
It stays with you, you hear it in your sleep.
I've literally been driving home at singing the theme to that in my head. Did you deliberately set out to create something really, I'm going to say annoying, but in the nicest possible way?
As a compliment, as a compliment at that.
Yeah, what should I say? You're welcome, of course. our team, our composers, did not want to produce music that is annoying. When we started this project, they told us what to do and which direction it should go. We sent them demos, and they listened to it, and they said, no, it's not annoying enough, it's really not repetitive enough.
Keep it going.
You said we have 60 minutes of music. What do you want to do if it's just 1 minute repeating 60 times?
Wow.
But they really, really needed to talk to us for quite a long time to make us understand that what really, we understood the concept of the ride, but we actually, I think we were afraid of annoying the people, but actually it made sense in the end. It all made sense. When you see the whole attraction, the whole theming, the whole idea behind the Smiler, it all makes sense, but that was hard to accept for us as musicians, as creatives, who always try to make something that is, that does not annoy the people, that people like, that people like to take home. So when we released the soundtrack, we never thought that it would be the soundtrack that gets the most views on YouTube.
It's the soundtrack to people's lives now,
but
isn't it?
You can imagine people are going to go on YouTube to listen to it, because it's one of those things, once it's in your head, you're like, I need to hear it again now.
It will reach about 1 million views on YouTube,
which is crazy. That's incredible.
People are asking us for the Soundtrack City for years now, and we hope it will happen someday, but that's their decision Alton Towers Resort needs to do.
Yes.
And we don't understand. We understand why people like to have the fireworks music. That's cool.
Definitely.
And way that people like it. But why people want to hear a smiley city? and people are, we found it on the internet, on eBay. Someone actually stole the files
really?
From the park, and they sold it wow. for $350
on eBay. Oh, my
word. eBay,
$350, oh, my word.
That's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Is it not inspiring to know, though, that something that you have created, is it fulfills people? I mean, one of my favourite memories, actually, I have to explain this. I was actually driving out of the park one evening, and I remember there was a little bit of traffic driving out of the park, and I had my window down. It was a beautiful summer's day. And then next to me, I slowly heard in the distance Galactica soundtrack getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And then the car that pulled up next to me, there were five people who were singing along and making their own music with their vocal cords as they were adding lyrics. They were adding lyrics to Galactica soundtrack and talking about this roller coaster as they had the soundtrack from your YouTube channel turned up full volume in the car. And then the next thing I heard, get Smiler on, get Smiler on, get Smiler on. And the enthusiasm. And, you know, you must hear from so many enthusiasts, of course, Becca and I being just two of them that are very excited to talk to you today. And, you know, I'm very aware that the team at IMAscore are also very much enthusiasts of the theme park industry, as you did touch on earlier. I've got to ask you, this is a little bit out of the box question, but I thought it'd be something I'd really like to know, that is there a type of music, a style of music, maybe orchestral or, you know, quite rock heavy, or again, quite, as you kind of mentioned, like repetitive with the Smiler in terms of get stuck inside people's heads. Is there a genre of music that you find personally is your favourite to hear when walking around a theme park, or something that you even enjoy creating yourself?
Actually, it's hard to say, because it really depends on the theming and the whole mood around an attraction. For example, at Helix, I love the Helix station, because it's so cool to hear this electronic, orchestral, dubstep, whatever-ish music running there. It's cool. It works really well. Just at this very particular place, you couldn't play it at an entrance. But maybe at Thor Park, we have a lot of electronic music there as well. It works there. Uh-huh. So it's hard to say. I'm a fan of really classic orchestral productions, but that's just my very personal point of view.
Of course.
I think the typical theme park music is orchestral. This nice, happy, positive orchestral music. For Merlin Entertainment, we usually produce the opposite, the very evil.
Yeah, they do like their dark themes on their attractions, don't they? Of course, Colossus as well. Re-theme of the roller coaster there, of course, you've been a big part of that too. And, you know, they are very dark theme heavy with their major rides and attractions. But, of course, you know, away from Merlin Entertainment, you've produced so much incredible sights and sounds for an atmosphere in these different parks, and not just in the theme parks as well. I also really would like to touch on the fact that I watch a lot of film trailers. I'm such a big film geek, and I must say I absolutely love hearing IMAscore. I mean, I could listen to your music all day, every day. If you had a soundtrack CD for every park you've done work for, I you'd never see me again.
IMAscore greatest hits as well.
I'd have red marks on my ears from all the times my headphones are covering my ears. But just to mention, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, the new Lion King for 2019 being released very, very soon, Aladdin, which has just been released in the cinemas, Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, and Star Wars The Last Jedi. That's got to be pretty cool to be a part of.
Producing music for movie trailers is actually a quite different thing, also in terms of storytelling and in terms of the whole production process. Producing music for movie trailers starts months and months before the trailer is released, and often we don't even know the film that we're producing music for, or the film trailer we're producing music for. Often we don't hear from them for months, and then suddenly they need to change on the music, which needs to be done in 4 hours, and then we again
standard client behavior there.
Yeah, again, then we hear nothing for months. So that's the usual process. So in total, we are working for like a week really on the queue, but in the end, it stretches to a year. That's, for example, it was on the Lion King. At theme parks, it's a more more constant production. Definitely. You really are developing the music and the themes, the style of the music, also the little stories you like to tell music-wise. You create that in a very long process together with the creatives from the park. You really have an instant feedback by them because music is usually a thing where the upper management is deciding how it should sound like. That's an interesting thing because there are many parts of an attraction where the upper management doesn't really think about. But music is a thing for the upper management, and they are deciding, and because it's maybe because it's such a nice personal thing to it's such a nice creative thing. It's some sort of piece of art, and they're happy to work with us very closely and also are helping us with their feedback to, yeah, create a nice story together with the physical theming on site.
Can I just go back to the start, Xavier? Because you guys mentioned you were started out as enthusiasts, yes. And you've ended up in this position where you're creating soundtracks for some of the biggest theme parks in the world. How did the first one happen? How did you start as a group of guys who like theme parks and like writing music? How did you get that first job?
Yeah, we produced a 3-minute demo for Krake at Heide Park Resort. It was the first dive coaster in Germany. And we produced a 3-minute demo, which was quite orchestral, quite positive, heroic. We sent it to the park, and actually they got back to us. They called us and
so
said,
Did they not solicit you for that? You just thought, we know they're building this ride. Let's see if they want our music.
Actually, it was this story ended up not so well, to be honest, because they called us and said they like to work with us, but they like to use the music for their telephone waiting line.
Oh my goodness.
So it was a little letdown at this point, but fortunately, two or 3 weeks later, they called us again and told us, we would like to talk with you also about the ride. And it was also our very first big meeting in our company history, and it was the first one then already in English, which made it a bit difficult because we were quite nervous a bit. We've been about 1 hour early to the park. We drove from the road to a little forest and we were hiding there so none of the employees would see us that a car from our from Paderborn, from the town we're based in, is standing close to the park. We were very, very nervous because it was really a dream come true. Like I said, we produced a 3-minute piece, and we thought that would be all then in the end. They just need different 3 minutes. And then they told us, no, we don't need 3 minutes. Would you be capable of producing 80 minutes of music? Wow. Would that be possible? We had two composers at that time. We were at our very, very beginning. And there was quite a sleepless night thinking about if we can manage this within 3 months. But we said yes in the end.
Yeah,
and it
you're
was
never
going to
say no to that opportunity.
And the rest was history.
And did your first demo ever make it to the telephone hold music?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow,
yes.
There we go.
It all worked out well in the end.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's gone now. So.
Oh, no. That's a shame.
Have they not asked you to do that again?
No, unfortunately not. I think they're playing music that we produced for another ride later on, but that's fine. The music is well kept secret in our archive because it really wasn't the best work we ever did back then. The software wasn't so developed and it wasn't sounding that nice, but still, it helped us to...
But maybe now if they need any new soundtracks, they have to call you and then you can use that music as your hold music. So they have to get through to you the opposite way around. That's and look at what you've produced since then. Of course, we've listed many, many different things that I'm a score as a team, and as a very much it seems like a very much a family atmosphere as in terms of how you've all come together and you've done this storytelling over the years. And you know, speaking from two UK enthusiasts alone, I'm sure many other people who'll be listening to this podcast. Incredible and special and wonderful, and there's too many words to describe, you know, these beautiful scores. But we really do thank you for everything that you do, and we look forward to hearing the future projects. I'm sure you've got a lot of things on the way very, very soon at I'm a Score, and you're probably not going to be able to tell us anything. I completely understand, but I'm guessing that you're quite excited for the future and what it may bring.
Yes, we are, and we need to be thankful actually, because it isn't making your living with music, with something creative, is nothing that you can really plan. beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's all about the people out there who like our work. Not only the clients, but also the enthusiasts out there, the visitors. And it's important for us to be in touch with the enthusiasts, with the fans, because with their feedback, we only can become better. So it's really, really helpful, and we would be nothing without the fans out there who actually made theme park music a thing. That wasn't really before. Maybe at some parks like Disneyland, for example, they used individual music at their parks. But before we started, there weren't so many out there. And it's really, really cool that so many parks are now recognizing that feedback music is an important thing.
It really is. And this might be an impossible question to answer because it might be like trying to choose your favorite child. If you had to pick one of all the scores that you've worked on for theme park rides, have you got a favourite? Can you pick a favourite?
Or if not, a most memorable that means something to you. We don't want to push you too far if it's hard to choose.
I want to push you to pick your favourite.
That's really, 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 really difficult because, like you said, it's like choosing one of your charts and that who's the best one. That's difficult. I'm personally, I'm quite a fan of the soundtrack of Hansa Park's Kernan. Wow. Also because we were able to record with the Budapest Film Orchestra and choir there. It was the first and only time we recorded with the choir for a theme park attraction. Wow. Which was cool because we were able to include lyrics to tell the story also with actual words, and there's nothing that works so well with the emotion of the people like the human voice, so it was really cool to incorporate that in the soundtrack. So yeah, that's at least one of
that was good. No, you managed to pick a great one too there as well.
It's a politician's answer that though.
A little bit, yes, but we need. But it's true. You can't choose because we put all we have in every soundtrack we produce, even if it's Wilde Hilde at Schwaben Park, which is a soundtrack we produce, including an instrument that we created, which is actually a chicken. So
wow, that's special.
A chicken is making the melody, and you know, it's a small park, but they still decided to give us a crazy chance to do something really, really awkward, actually.
That's so cool. Is the chicken going to make an appearance at the opening ceremony, though? That is the question. With the chicken being such a star, I mean, that's incredible. Wow, what a cool story to add to a theme park soundtrack. You know, I'm aware that you do visit a lot of the parks, and enthusiasts do spot you. You guys are around, and just like the rest of us, really, you like to go on the rides and be a part of the atmosphere. But it's really great to see that people who are enthusiasts in their own minds are in the industry and are such pioneers of the industry also, because, you know, enthusiasts do sometimes worry that they don't get their voices heard, and it's really nice to hear that the team at IMAscore as a whole really are valuing the enthusiast feedback, and you really like to hear. And obviously you mentioned about the CDs, I know that's an entirely different kettle of fish, of course, with the parks, but you know, it is great to hear your soundtracks. And for the people who are listening, please do go and listen to IMAscore's YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They have all their social medias there. Go out and search. It's truly mesmerizing.
Is there a ride in the world that you wish you could have written a soundtrack for?
Good question. Yeah, I think they're quite... Yes, one in particular I would mention, because we tried to get this job, but we didn't. It's a Gatekeeper at Cedar Point, because we think that we had some quite good ideas, I would say, for it. But we also produced some demos. We sometimes produce demos for rides that we just sent them as an idea, and we hope to get a chance to work with them. Sometimes they don't even answer, and that's fine. That would be one of these rides where I think it would be cool. Would have been cool to produce a soundtrack.
You know, I'm sure there's many people out there who've either heard your work, whether it's been in theme parks, in film, and of course, quickly to mention, video games too, Final Fantasy and Call of Duty World War II as well, you guys had a part to play in. And over 10 years, IMAscore, here you are, stronger than ever. And of course, over 3,000 projects, and I'm sure there's many, many more to come.
Hopefully we're really looking forward to the future. And we're not tired of producing music for theme parks. And
it's endless, isn't it? There's no end to it. You've got unlimited ideas. We never know what's around the corner in terms of ride development or what's going to come out of the minds of a park next. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
It's always going to be a challenge.
There are unlimited and actually none, because sometimes you are in front of your workstation and you don't really have an idea what a soundtrack, you don't really find a beginning. So although the inspiration is out there, it still needs to find you at the right time and at the right spot. So it's always everywhere and nowhere.
And I bet sometimes it's like 3:30 in the morning, isn't it?
I don't start telling stories where our composers got inspiration at some sudden moment, but usually it's not at the studio.
we'll leave that one there. Xavier, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, obviously, I've said a massive happy birthday to I'm a Score as well. Happy 10th birthday, I'm sure. You know, you'll be celebrating your 100th birthday at some point in the future. But for this one, for this milestone, from all of us at Parkcast, we do wish you the best.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me.
Parkcast, just gotta ride it.
So this is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where we talk about a ride which everyone in the world should go and ride. We've had yours, Alex, which was Shambhala.
It was Shambhala.
We've had mine, which was the Grand National at Blackpool. Very controversial.
Very different coasters there as well.
And now, because Xavier's been on the show with us today, it seems only right, Xavier, that we ask you what yours would be, the one in the world that you really want everyone to go and ride.
Yeah, I mentioned this right before, but I would say it's Canon at Hansa Park, because especially the surprising element at the lift I don't further talk about is quite worth it. Yeah.
Very, very special coaster there.
And what makes that coaster so special to you?
I guess Hansa Park tried something and that no one else really tried before with the elements that are in there. It's quite a special ride. And I must say, having a 70 or 80 meter high tower, where the lift is in at the park, is already so special that you need to see it in person.
And not to give too much away, but is the lift hill the only thing that's inside of that tower? Who will know? Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.